Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. Wild Card Wednesday kicks off. Mark in Hershey, Pennsylvania requested Fast Way. Yeah. With Say What You Will. Yeah, Mark in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Esmeralda, you familiar with Fast Way?
I am not.
Oh, man. Fast Way. They're, well, as you can tell, they were an 80s sort of hair metal band. Dan, are you a card-carrying member of the Fast Way fan club?
Can't say that I am.
Well, Mark is. He's in Hershey, Pennsylvania, eating a bunch of chocolate. That would be my guess. So, all right, hi. Hey, maybe we'll get a Fast Way card question, Esmeralda, in when we play the pop-up video, because you know how popular Fast Way was.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen a Fast Way video on pop-up video.
Maybe they were,
but who knows?
They were on Headbangers Ball.
They were they?
I would guess that Fast Way at one point was probably, a video at least, was featured on Fast or on Headbangers Ball.
See, I always think Headbangers Ball is being very metal. And not this, like,
not when it first started. Like, when it first started, when it was that idiot.
Poison.
When it was like, poison, stuff like that. When Adam Curry was the host, that's when it was, you know, it had stuff like Fast Way and not really.
Yeah, because I remember it being scary.
Well, when Ricky Rackman took it over.
Right.
That's when the, yeah.
Hardcore stuff.
That's exactly right. That's when it was like speed metal and death metal and all that cool stuff. Yeah, Ricky Rackman. Remember when he cut his hair? Everybody went nuts.
Why is that? I just love that people are like, what? Long? No, you don't. You cut your hair.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember
he's not
when
Samson? Do you all his metal powers don't
just,
leave
they
him.
Disappeared. They, yeah, well, that's what they. You remember? Remember the uproar over Metallica cutting their hair?
Oh my gosh, I remember people were so mad
when it was Load, when the album Load came out.
If anything, it should have been like, maybe it's a sign, guys.
Yeah, maybe it's time to cut your hair. Oh man. All right. Well, it's Wild Card Wednesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And if you want to text in your request, 312-981-7200. So I have some stories behind the real-life inspirations for cartoon characters. Now, before we get to this list that I have, and you can check it out. We'll throw it up on our Facebook page there, facebook.com/NickDShow. You should like our Facebook page. That's what you should do. Before we get into that, I do want to mention again my screening of Fight Club is Tuesday, September 6th. Gotta come. Fight Club. Awesome movie. If you've never seen it, you gotta see it. If you've only seen it on the DVD, you can't. It's nothing. Like, you gotta see it on the big screen. Great David Fincher movie. Really darkly funny and crazy, based on an insane book by Chuck Palahniuk. And Brad Pitt's awesome in it. Edward Norton's awesome in it. Helen Bonham Carter, Meatloaf is in it. Come on, Meatloaf. Jordan Catalano is in it, better known as Jordan Catalano. Or Jared, what's his name? Jared Leto. So, you got to come see Fight Club. It's only $10 and parking is free. One night only, one show only. If you're going to go, you got to go. It is this Tuesday, September 6th, at the Movieco Theater in Rosemont, right off the expressway, really easy to get to. Like I said, parking is free, and it is only $10. It's a cheap night out. So for all you guys out there who are cheap and you want to take your ladies out, this is cheap. You can take them to see Fight Club, which is a very romantic film to take your lady friend to see.
There's some romance in there.
There is. And in fact, I don't want to give away anything, but it is a love story, ultimately.
Yeah, it's very sweet at the end.
It is very sweet. I totally agree. In a very perverse, twisted, crazy way. And it's got one of my favorite, I will say this, it's got one of my favorite final shots in film history. I think that the final shot of Fight Club is one of my favorite shots in film history. It's just this beautifully composed shot, and then something flashes on screen, and And you got this beautiful image, this, you know, this final image, very romantic and beautiful image. Then something flashes on the screen, and this all happens while the Pixies are playing. I don't see anything wrong with that at all. That seems pretty perfect to me. So come see Fight Club on Tuesday, September 6th, Movieco Theater in Rosemont. Only $10. Parking is free. Go to carmike.com and reserve your seats right now. They'll be waiting for you for Tuesday night. C-A-R-M-I-K-E, carmike.com. Reserve your seats for Fight Club Tuesday night. And we meet at 7 on the second floor of the Movieco Theater in Rosemont at Bogart's Restaurant. Have some dinner, have some drinks. You can bring the food, bring the drinks into the beautiful Premiere Theater where we see the movies with these giant love seats and just relax. Huge curved screen, 4K digital projection, amazing sound. This is a digitally remastered print of Fight Club, and it's going to be spectacular to see on the big screen. So come on out Tuesday, September 6th. To see Fight Club, $10 only, parking free, carmike.com. Make your reservations now. Reserve your seats now. Let's pack the place for Tuesday night. I'll introduce the movie. It starts at 8, and then afterwards we'll have a little talk. And it's always a lot of fun to meet and greet and hang out with the film club fans and the people who come out to see the movie. So Tuesday, September 6th, Fight Club, $10, parking free, carmike.com. Reserve your seats now, carmike.com. All right. Okay, so real-life inspirations for memorable cartoon characters. Now, what's not on this list are Ren and Stimpy. Ren and Stimpy. Dan, can you find a clip of Ren and Stimpy so we can get their voices? Because John Crisfalusi, who is the genius, the mad genius behind Ren and Stimpy, his real-life inspiration for the two characters, at least sort of like a little bit in their personality, but mostly voice-wise. Ren was inspired by Peter Lorre, the famous actor from, you know, the old 30s and 40s films, Peter Lorre. His last movie, by the way, was The Patsy, my favorite Jerry Lewis movie. But the vocals, the sort of the inflection, the way that Ren acts was totally inspired by Peter Lorre. And Stimpy was inspired by Larry Fine from The Three Stooges. And in fact, I had Billy West on my show many times, and he said that when he provided Stimpy's voice, he basically just was doing a variation, a little slowed down, dumber variation of his Larry Fine from The Three Stooges. So that's not on this list, but it's true. And John Crisfalusi, I've had John Crisfalusi on the show three times because I love Ren and Stimpy. I think Ren and Stimpy, quite frankly, is an example of some of the greatest works of art of the 20th century, and I'm not exaggerating. I think Ren and Stimpy is absolute genius. Do we have a little Ren and Stimpy?
Gosh, Ren, isn't this beautiful? Huh? Hey, you know what would be fun? Let's go skinny dipping. What? Are you crazy? Oh, come on, Ren. You'll like it. No. It's all right, Ren. It's nature. Ren, the water's fine.
I don't know. What if someone sees me?
Okay, so that's
in the middle of nowhere. Instead of, who's gonna see you?
That's the I love Ren and Stimpy so much. I love it so much. But yeah, Larry Fine. Can you hear Larry from the Three Stooges in Stimpy there?
I can hear it.
Yeah. And then Peter Lorre, I think, is more obvious.
Yeah, you can tell it. Even the way he was animated.
Oh, yeah.
And facial feature, you know.
Yeah.
Reactions to things.
Yeah.
You could totally see it.
And that, I'll tell you, man, that you know, that first season and a half of Ren and Stimpy. Oh, my God. I just, to this day, I've got the entire, like, first three seasons or whatever. Well, the whole thing, the box set, even after Crisfalusi left and Bob Camp took over. I've still got those. Those are good. They're not as good as the original Christopher Lucy stuff. But, man, that is just the best. It's just the best. And I remember the first time I ever saw the first time I ever saw Ren and Stimpy, first time I was ever exposed to Ren and Stimpy, was at a screening of an animated film festival. There would be every year, it was shown at the Music Box. Every year there was an animated film festival. I think they still do it. And they would put a program together of a bunch of animated shorts, and it would run about 2 hours. So there would be, you know, any number of different animated shorts in there. And I remember it was December of 1990. And I was in the screening room, and I'm sitting next to Dave Kerr, who I mentioned just yesterday about with his review of Logan's Run, saying the future looks like Woodfield. And we're sitting next to each other, and it was, you know, a mixed bag, like a lot of these festivals are. You know, some shorts were great, some weren't so good. So it was a mixed bag. The very final thing that they showed was Jailhouse Blues, which was the very first episode of Ren and Stimpy. And it was listed underneath, it was Ren Hook and Stimpy in Jailhouse Blues. And I never heard of John Crisolucci before, never heard of anything of this before. And I was doubled over with laughter during it. Like, I couldn't believe how creative, how funny, how absolutely certifiably insane it was. And it was just like one of the coolest, most creative, insane animated things I've ever seen in my life. And when I looked at the press kit, you know, they had information about it. It said, we'll be debuting on Nickelodeon as a show. So I began looking at TV Guide. You remember when you had the TV Guide? I began looking at TV Guide and scouring the Nickelodeon listings, looking for Ren, Hoek, and Stimpy. And that was in December of 90. It didn't debut until August of 91. So I spent all the time, 9 months, you know, looking every week, scanning the TV Guide for Ren and Stimpy. And then it debuted in August of 91 and went down in history as one of the craziest shows ever. But yeah, Ren and Stimpy, that would be Peter Lorre and Larry Fine. So, all right, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and we'll come back, and I will give you more real-life inspirations behind memorable cartoon characters. That's coming up right here on WGN. Yeah. Wild Card Wednesday. Although, Dan, it's not as wild. They seem similar.
The first two entries randomly were very similar. Yeah.
219 area code request Slade's Run Runaway. Slade, who had minor hits, but who songs that were covered by artists that actually sold more than their originals did. So good old Slade. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN. Okay, all right. Yogi Bear. Everybody knows who Yogi Bear is. He likes the picnic baskets. He was inspired by Art Carney. Art Carney. Yogi's voice and mannerisms were taken in part from Art Carney, more specifically Carney's honeymooner character, Ed Norton. It's common knowledge that the Flintstones was based on the classic sitcom and that Barney Rubble was playing the Norton role, but Hanna-Barbera also used him as the foundation for Yogi. Hanna-Barbera was well known for using popular actors and actresses of the day as the foundation for their characters. In addition, the Flintstones and Yogi Bear, Snagglepuss was little more than Bert Lahr's Cowardly Lion. No, that's true. And Jabberjaw didn't even hide the fact that he was a ripoff of Curly from the Three Stooges. They should put Stimpy and Jabberjaw in a cartoon together. Now, who would be Mo? Is there a mean cartoon character that would be Mo? Slapping people around? Shut up! And there certainly is no Shemp, because you can't imitate Shemp. He's the best stooge ever. All right, how about this one? Aladdin. The inspiration for Aladdin, Tom Cruise. When the design for Aladdin was originally cemented, he was supposed to exude boyish charm similar to Michael J. Fox. However, during production, this mindset was changed, and the team at Disney decided to go for a more mature look of a matinee idol, and their inspiration for him was Tom Cruise. Now I have to go back and look at a picture of Aladdin. Does he look like Tom Cruise?
There's a little bit there.
Is there? Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that boyish look to him.
Does he? No, I don't. I've only seen Aladdin one time. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't. So I've only seen it one time, but I don't remember what he sounds like. He doesn't sound like. Well, how can you sound like Tom Cruise?
Isn't the voice of Aladdin the guy from Full House?
Coulier?
Stamos?
No, not any of those guys.
Oh.
He was the oldest daughter's boyfriend.
Oh, well, I have no idea. Bucky or whatever. Who was Boner? What show was Boner?
Is that Family Ties?
That was Family
with
Ties?
Michael J. Fox and dated Mallory.
That was Mallory's boyfriend, and that was the dude who was in he was in like one of them werewolf movies or something. Wasn't he? What the hell was that guy's name? What was that? That would be my department. What was that guy's name? The guy who played Boner. He was in he did one of those.
By the way, thanks for having me Google Boner. Andrew Koenig.
He's the first search thing, right?
Good thing the images
boner.
Are off.
Who are
Andrew Koenig?
That's not the guy I'm thinking of.
Right.
Who else was on that show? Wasn't there a next door neighbor, Skippy?
All right,
or Slappy?
Growing Pains was Boner.
Oh, Growing Pains was
Family
Boner.
Family Ties might have been
Skippy.
Skippy. Yeah.
Okay, so Skippy, that guy, the guy who played Skippy, he was in I Am a Werewolf or something. He's in I'm a Frankenstein or something. I can't remember, but he was in one of those movies. He was in a movie like that. And I can't remember the guy's name. So, by the way, Disney lore also suggests that Princess Jasmine's appearance was based in part on Jennifer Connelly. Well, yeah. Why not? And I think the guy who played Skipper or Skippy, speaking of Skippy, Skip Skipley is going to be joining us in a few minutes. His first name was Scott.
Mark Price.
Mark Price. But he was in like I'm a zombie, my girlfriend is dead, or something like that, I think.
None of his limited filmography seems to scream horror movie.
Maybe I'm not thinking of the same guy. What? I don't know.
He was in 1986. He was in Trick or Treat with Gene Simmons.
That's
and
it.
Ozzy Osbourne.
That's it. I knew it was some sort of Trick or Treat, by the way, which rules. You know who directed that movie? Charles Martin Smith. You guys have any idea who Charles Martin Smith is?
The director of Trick or Treat.
That's right, but he was an actor. He played Frog in American Graffiti. He was the little dude in American Graffiti. He was in Never Cry Wolf. He was in Starman. You guys ever see Starman?
Yes.
He was the government guy who was the nice guy, the alien expert guy. All right, how about this? Ursula.
Just to complete the process. Yes, Esmeralda. Steve Hale, who played DJ's boyfriend Full House, and Fuller House was also the voice of
He was the voice of Aladdin.
Yes.
Okay. Ursula, also from that movie. Now, this is an obvious one.
Different movie.
No, yeah.
It's a different movie?
Little Mermaid.
Oh, it's Little Mermaid. Okay, I don't know. I don't know what the hell the difference is. The same damn movie.
I mean, one is a mermaid,
yeah,
and the other is, you know, flying carpets in the Middle East. But
yeah,
okay,
it's the same damn
sure.
thing.
I just picture Nick melding all of the Disney movies to character. Soon, like a lion's going to show up and try to kill his brother. And
that's right. Isn't there a lion underwater in that movie? There's like a lion and a crazy monkey that holds him up in the water. Anyway, Ursula in that Little Mermaid was patterned after Divine, which is obvious. I mean, at least when I saw Little Mermaid, I was like, yeah, that looks exactly like Divine. It says, if you know anything about Divine's filmography, it's certainly not much about his work that screams Disney. Despite building a career off of risque comedies and director John Waters, Divine wound up being in the Disney family as the inspiration behind Ursula, the main villain in The Little Mermaid. So that just makes total sense. Now, who did the voice of Divine? I mean, who did the voice of Divine did the voice of Divine? Did somebody do the voice of Ursula? Because that was before it became a thing to have, you know, celebrities doing voices. Although in Aladdin was one of the first times they had like a major celebrity, because Robin Williams did the voice of the genie in it. But that was back in those days, they actually had voice talent. They had like people who did that for a living. Guys like Billy West, who I mentioned earlier.
Actress Pat Carroll played.
Oh, God, Pat Carroll. Ursula. No, she's like a major actress, Pat Carroll. Tons of sitcoms. She did Match Game often. And she kind of looks like Ursula. I mean, that's another thing. It's like, did they cast her because like Pat Carroll kind of looks like Ursula? Weird. All right. We have to break here. We got the news coming up. I got a few more of the real-life people that inspired cartoon characters. If you want to jump in with anything, it's 312-981-7200. Also, Wildcard Wednesday coming up. And Esmeralda and I are going to play another round of pop-up video.
Hang on. We have to wait for an unresponsive script before we're able to play Kathy's Wildcard Wednesday request.
Is that the song?
No.
You talking?
I'm sorry. I was taking a sip of water, and when I heard Dan go, hang on, I started coughing.
What is happening?
What's going on?
This is quite a wild card.
Yeah.
Did Kathy requested silence?
Kathy did not request silence. Kathy requested actually a very nice song that I really wish could play sometime in the near future, but
it just seems to not be happening.
Yeah,
you want me to just whistle until we get that?
Sure.
Oh, wow.
Song for Kathy.
That tune.
Kathy's song.
Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, well, you were off. Key was off.
I realized after the first line I couldn't go any higher than that.
I bet younger people would go, oh, that's from Breakfast Club.
That's right. They were.
Because they whistled that.
I don't know if they'd be considered younger. That's like,
well, that's
40.
It's 30 years.
Oh, okay.
30 years, right? 1985.
Right. Let's assume
years.
They were 10 at least when they saw
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, it came out much later than Bridge Over River Kwai did. I mean, that's
Isn't it also the theme for, wait.
What?
Armor Hot Dogs?
Yeah, Armor Hot Dogs. Yeah, Armor Hot Dogs. Yeah, it is. That's fantastic.
Well, we continue to tap here. I can't actually whistle blowing out. I have to breathe air in order to whistle.
What?
Wait, why?
I feel you, Dan.
How do you find that out?
I felt like a fool for many years, unable to whistle when all my friends were whistling as we walked down the proverbial street.
And hold on. You guys would walk down the street whistling?
That was a made-up scenario. I don't know. How do you find out you don't know how to whistle?
You just don't. You couldn't join that whistle game?
Right. You guys would get out of your Monte Carlos and just start whistling?
Right, as we walked to Breaker Square.
As you walked to Breaker Square.
I discovered I couldn't whistle. It was a very, very sad moment for me. But then I discovered if I breathed in,
you can whistle.
Yeah. So,
okay.
With all that being said, hey, Kathy, here we go.
Kathy requested this on Wildcard Wednesday.
It's in the trailer for that animal singing movie. I saw it before.
Oh, for
Kubo.
Sing. It's called Sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks super cute.
It looks hilarious. My favorite is the alligator that's doing the Humpty.
Yes.
I almost fell, and the snail doing Ride Like the Wind.
It was so good.
It looks so funny. Now, you know who's the lead voice on that?
No.
McConaughey.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's the Gypsy Kings, Bamboleo. And the female pig does a big dance routine in a grocery store at the end of the trailer for that. But that's also featured in one of my favorite movies of all time, featuring my favorite actor of all time. It's in Fearless.
I, for a second, thought you were going to say Mambo Kings.
Mambo Kings. Although it would be appropriate if it were Mambo Kings. I would imagine that no two guy buddies who were roommates watched Mambo Kings repeatedly. I think that's a very unique thing to me and my friend Scott. I'm not kidding. We would go out to Northwoods Bar, have a few, bring home like a six-pack, and pop in Mambo Kings. It was either Mambo Kings or Dazed and Confused. It was those are the two that we watched all the time. For some reason, both of us adored Mambo Kings. That movie rules. When was the last time, Esmeralda, when was the last time you saw Mambo Kings?
Oh, my God. At least 10 years.
It rules. Dan, Mambo Kings?
I can't remember.
I'm not kidding. We watched it, like, monthly, easily, when Scott and I were living together. Spider-Man, put on Mambo Kings. People would come over and go, why are you idiots watching Mambo Kings again? We were like, because it rules. And Bendejas is the king. Oh, that movie rules. Okay, we got a couple more cartoon characters to talk about, and then Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head again in the fantastic board game VH1's Pop-Up Vidya. So, and I also want to thank the listener who came out to one of my film clubs and gave me the board game, which she got on eBay, I think, for $5 or something. We've been having a lot of fun with that. All right. Chucky Finster. Now, I don't know that Chucky Finster, is that a Rugrat?
Yes.
All right. I watched Rugrats every once in a while, just didn't know their names. I thought that was funny. But Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo was the inspiration for Chucky, who also did the music, who did music for Rugrats. So Mark Mothersbaugh is the inspiration for Chucky. And then I jumped too soon because in this explanation, they're talking about Nickelodeon, that Rocco was basically Woody Allen, and that Ren and Stimpy's voices were modeled after Peter Lorre and Larry Fine, respectively. Thank you. I didn't read that part. So Harley Quinn was inspired by Arlene Sorkin. Originally created as a one-off appearance on Batman the Animated Series, Quinn was the brainchild of writer Paul Dini. He got the idea for the character from actress Arlene Sorkin's strange appearance in a fantasy sequence on Days of Our Lives, where she played a court jester on roller skates. Dini and Sorkin are real-life friends, and he brought her on board to provide the voice of Harley after it clicked to model the Joker's main henchwoman after this nightmarish clown on skates. Sorkin's distinct voice work helped Harley Quinn go from an afterthought on Batman the Animated Series into a comic book icon and movie star. And it's all weirdly thanks to Days of Our Lives. That's insane. I didn't know that Harley Quinn was created for the Batman Animated Series. I just assumed it was a classic old character. So that character became that popular from the Animated Series?
Yeah.
Wow. Only good thing in Suicide Squad, by the way. Which I caught up with. What a piece of crap that is. Oh.
It wasn't that bad.
It was terrible. It wasn't as bad. I will say this. It wasn't as bad as Batman versus Superman. That was worse. But the only good thing in the movie was Margot Robbie and Jordan Catalano. But he's only in it for like 10. Jordan Catalano, Jared Leto, is only in it for like 10 minutes. Oh, what a terrible movie. And then finally, Mo Sizlak from The Simpsons. Any idea? This is weird to me. I don't know why. Esmeralda, any idea who you think Mo is patterned after?
None.
It's just, it's weird because I don't see it. Dan, do you see it? Kinda?
Kind of, but not really.
He's patterned after Al Pacino. I don't know. And here's the explanation. Hank Azaria, being a world-class impressionist that he is, went to one of his favorites, Al Pacino, but not just any Al Pacino would do. He was specifically doing Dog Day Afternoon era Pacino. Though the voice has lost that distinct Pacino vibe as the show has progressed in the early days, it's impossible not to hear. It's also been rumored that the character's most memorable running joke has its roots in an actual bar in Jersey City, New Jersey. All right. The running joke being what? Answering the phone? And having Bart and Lisa give him fake names? IP freely? Ivana hug and kiss? Is Ivana hug and kiss? Ivana hug and kiss.
My favorite's the last one.
Which one?
The I have a big butt and I want to kiss my butt.
Oh, yeah.
He just right. does it. It's like, oh, come on.
That's right. I don't know if we can find some early Mo. And I've seen I know Dog Day Afternoon. I know that movie by heart. I know every line of dialogue in that movie. That's one of my favorite movies of all time, Dog Day Afternoon. But I don't see, because he's got a very high voice in that movie.
He has that accent, I guess, Mo.
He's like, what do we got here? We got a squirrel?
Yeah. And it's,
is that a squirrel?
It's gotten different. And it, yeah, I guess it has changed. I mean,
it has. All the voices have changed.
Yeah, and even the look of Mo has changed.
No, I mean, over the years, I mean, God, the show's been on for 47 years.
Yeah, but I remember in the beginning, Mo had, I think he had, like, darker hair or a different color of hair, and then they've changed
it. They changed that, yeah. That's what my favorite is, is when they do the anniversary show, and you've got, hi, I'm Troy McClure. You've got the late, great, the brilliant Phil Hartman. And they show like one of the first episodes of The Simpsons, like one of the first shorts that was on the Tracy Ullman show. And they show a little clip from it. They cut back to Troy McClure looking shocked with his eyes bugging out. And he goes, they haven't changed a bit. God, remember that show? Remember when that show was the best thing ever on television? Oh, man.
I actually got to catch some because it was on FXX, or whatever.
Yeah, it's on all the time.
Oh, it was so exciting because it was two episodes back-to-back of The Simpsons.
And they concentrate on the good stuff, man. It's like 92 to 97, best stretch of television ever. Ever. There was nothing better on television than that show. Nothing. And FXX shows those episodes all the time. Just the best. All right. So there you go. Some real life inspiration. I'm going to have to go and bust out some old Mo and then, you know, listen to it with my Al Pacino ear. Because he never goes, hoo-ah! You know who does the best Al Pacino ever? Ever. Ever. Kevin Spacey. Have you ever heard Kevin Spacey's Al Pacino, Dan?
You know, and now that you say that, I think I have, when he's done his strings on when he's visiting with,
look, you know what, let's, when we come back, we're going to take a break here, and then we'll come back. Dan, find the one that specifically, it's Kevin Spacey on Letterman surprising Pacino, because Pacino is there, and Spacey comes out and sits next to Al Pacino and does his impression of Al Pacino, one of the greatest things I've ever seen. So, all right, we'll do that. We'll come back, and then we'll jump into pop-up video. Okay, here's your forecast for today. Mostly cloudy in the morning and then sunny. The high of 74. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 65. Triple play Thursday, partly sunny, high near 70. Going to be a beautiful weekend. Friday, sunny, high near 72. Saturday, sunny, high near 75. Currently 72 at O'Hare, 73 at Midway, 74 at the lakefront. Let's get a check on traffic with Esmeralda Leon.
So we're still seeing on the southbound side of I-65 closed near US 231. That's due to a vehicle fire. This is in Rensselaer, but if you are in that area, keep that in mind. Southbound I-65 closed near US 231, and this is in Indiana. Closer to home, we're not seeing any major problems on the Kennedy. We're seeing some slight delays around Cumberland, and that is due to road work. On the inbound side at Cumberland, a right lane is closed, and on the Eisenhower, still seeing that delay 1st to 5th Avenue. Two left lanes are closed on that outbound side of the Eisenhower. I'm Esmeralda Leon, WGN Traffic Central.
Plan your home improvement and DIY projects Sunday mornings on WGN TV. Watch House Smarts with Lou Manfredini at 10:30, followed by Weekend Workbench at 11. 11 years ago, well, 11 years ago, Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, was adamant about creating the world's healthiest, most comfortable, and most durable pillow ever. He was also adamant about manufacturing this pillow right here in the USA. People said he was crazy to think he could build a successful company while manufacturing here in the United States. Well, today, MyPillow has over 1,100 employees and has helped over 25 million people get the best sleep of their lives. And it's still proudly made in the USA. Labor Day is coming up. To celebrate, MyPillow is extending their best offer ever. Right now, get four MyPillows for the price of one. Buy one premium MyPillow, you'll get one free, plus two go-anywhere pillows absolutely free. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code WGN. They have a 60-night money-back guarantee. There's no risk in trying. Sleep on it. If you don't love it, return it and get your money back. Call 800-299-9579 or MyPillow.com. That's 800-299-9579 and use promo code WGN.
Mary Lou Henner, not just one of the newest members of the cast of Dancing with the Stars, but a guest on the Steve Cochran Show at 8:40. And a lot of people don't know this, but she actually gave me this signature pair of tights that I'm wearing right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nasty.
Hump Day with the Steve Cochran Show, later this morning on 720 WGN.
It's stock car racing this weekend at Sycamore Speedway. Full-size demo derby and more on Friday, and the Labor Day Classic on Saturday.
See SycamoreSpeedway.com.
For the entire race schedule,
family-owned since 1960,
Sycamore Speedway offers great, wholesome family fun. Located on North Avenue, Route 64, west of Route 47.
Sycamore Speedway
is a great time. Plan your visits now to
Sycamore Speedway.
See SycamoreSpeedway.com for more details.
So you love the beach so much, you bought a timeshare in Mexico. You figured you'd spend over $30,000 between the mortgage at about 14% and the annual maintenance fees. But that's not the painful part. The painful part is you've used it twice. That's $15,000 of vacation. And it's not an all-inclusive. If the math on your timeshare isn't penciling out, if your lifestyle's changed and you're no longer able or want to use it, get out of that timeshare. Timeshare Exit Team is the most trusted name in the business. As a consumer protection company, Timeshare Exit Team negotiates with a resort to take your contract back. That's right. You're out safely, legitimately, and for good. Go to TimeshareExitTeam.com, read the reviews, and then schedule your free consultation. Your personal consultant will sit down with you, review your contract, and show you options. Don't pay another maintenance fee. When you can get out, you need to get out, and you can get out now with Timeshare Exit Team. 100% guarantee they get you out, or every penny goes back to you, and they don't get paid. TimeshareExitTeam.com.
I know she can be found. Oh, you're she, man. They don't believe me. But you.
Yes. 847 area code for Wildcard Wednesday. So, Esmeralda, does it bring you right back to the brain?
Did it, you know what? I was never there when they played this.
Really?
No. Wow. I remember college days.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking, because I was college radio, so this is all a right. Big thing.
That's the Ocean Battles, the Pink Robots by the Lips, Flaming Lips. Okay. All right, we're going to jump into a... some pop-up video. Dan, were you able to find this is what I was talking about. Al Pacino was a guest on David Letterman's show. Kevin Spacey surprised him, walked out, sat next to him, and started doing his impression. Now, you have to understand, they were both in Glengarry Glen Ross. That's where the whole thing came from. Kevin Spacey played Williamson in Glengarry Glen Ross, and Pacino played Roma. And they were both phenomenal. That movie is just phenomenal. But that's where the whole imitation thing started. He also does a great Jack Lemmon, who was in Glengarry. I think he can do everybody who was in Glengarry. I'm pretty sure Kevin Spacey can do everybody who was in Glengarry. But anyway, so this is an episode of Letterman. Pacino's out there. Kevin Spacey comes out.
Kevin, how are you? Nice to see you.
Oh, shut up, Dave.
They like it. They like it.
I worked on something just for this moment.
Okay.
I had to write it down.
Whoa.
He's also doing it physically, too, like brilliantly physical stuff.
Here it is. Here it is. 2E, Asa So Popo.
Oh, my God.
That is brilliant. Oh, thank you. But I get a cappuccino. Oh, Dave, you're a big man.
Yeah.
I'll give you a stick of gum. You can show me how to chew it.
Okay, there you go. So that's his. He goes on for a little while, and he's done that imitation of Pacino in other places, and it's phenomenal. All right, so I got to go back and listen to some Mo and see if it sounds like Pacino.